Welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two amazing guests. I have with me Annette Weirstra and Heidi Bennett. Hello, ladies. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. So excited to just chat podcast.
Yes, it's so great. So to get started, Annette, can you tell us where we can find you on the internet?
Sure. I am on Twitter and Instagram as Scriptorium Girl, which is my business name, but I mostly don't talk about business on either of those things. So more about podcasts.
And speaking of podcasts, where can people listen to your voice on podcasts?
Right. I am on Herp Chirp with two of my friends, which is a podcast all about Winona Earp. And it's filmed where I live, which is in Alberta, Canada. So we try to bring an Alberta Canadian perspective to the show because it's got lots of good stuff about that in there. And you can find us on Twitter. So as Herp Chirp.
Perfect. All right. And what about you, Heidi?
So my current podcast is called Vibrant Visionaries, and you can find that on Twitter. I had to shorten it a bit there. So on Twitter, it's Vibrant Vizcast. I am on Twitter at Heidi M. Bennett. I'm also on Instagram at Heidi M. Bennett and on Instagram as Vibrant Visionaries, because there's a little bit more room there. And so my podcast, which is at vibrantvisionaries.com, is conversations with clever, compassionate, multi-creative professionals about their projects, process, and lessons learned along the way. So they're very casual conversations between me, I'm a coach for multi-creatives, and people from all over the world and here in the East Bay, which is where I'm at in Oakland, California, talking about process, talking about creativity, collaboration, creative process. And then there's always this underlying conversation about taking care of ourselves, about learning about how compassion is part of the creative process. And what I'm learning over time here is that we just keep circling back to compassion for others, but also how important it is for us to be compassionate with ourselves, that we spend a lot of time beating ourselves up and trying to be, you know, perfect creatives, and that life is complicated and the last thing we need is this enemy inside us. So that has been something that seems to circle back in pretty much every episode.
I love it so much. I listened to a couple episodes, and just that frank conversations about creativity, but more importantly the creatives themselves and how important it is to be kind to ourselves as well as each other, is just, it's a conversation that unfortunately needs to be had, and I'm so glad that it's being talked about.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really happy to have this platform for us to just chat about it and be real about it, and yeah, not just come on and say, this is my project and it's,
right,
you know, comes out at this date and it's great, so come check it out. You know, we always promote what everybody's up to and share all their, you know, interesting creative projects, and that's part of being a multi-creative. You know, some people call it multi-passionate, or, you know, a scanner, or there's all these different words for it. But for me, the multi-creative is somebody who's this lifelong learner that absolutely doesn't want to say no to projects. In fact, that's part of, you know, the coaching process is helping them sort of conceptualize and choose a few different creative projects that they're passionate about right now. And how do they use their own way of doing things to make those projects come to fruition? And that's a big part of it too, is this working with people as a coach and talking with people on the podcast about finding their own way of doing things. So not try to push everybody into some regimented, you know, super optimization routine that doesn't quite work for everybody. You know, we all kind of have to find our own way, whether it's, you know, what food we need to consume that makes us feel good, and what, you know, what activities we find fun and how we like to be with other people. And And so that's another big part of the conversation is learning how we tick so that we can express ourselves creatively and just live more happily and kind of mindfully joyful most of the time, hopefully.
I love it. I love it so much. But yeah. We're not here to talk about that. We're not here. We'll talk about that later, maybe, though. Instead, let's go back in history a little bit. Annette, how did you start listening to podcasts, and what were some of the first that you were listening to?
I started listening quite a while ago, and the first I started listening to was This American Life, which I feel is almost the granddaddy of some of the popular podcasts. So I don't know. I've never been someone who's been like, I don't put music on. I don't listen to I just don't. I always like listening to talk radio, and the discovery of this podcast thing, which is, you know, I could put so many different things. And at that time, there weren't even that many podcasts to listen to, was just revolutionary. So then I just started downloading all the podcasts and listening to them all the time. And I think the first one I really fell in love with was actually a local podcast here in Edmonton called Oh Witch Please, which was about a feminist take on Harry Potter. And they took one super fan and one person who's never seen the movies and books and have conversations. Both of them are academics who have PhDs now. I think they're in the process of getting them at the time. And they had this great conversation, and it sort of, yeah, it just seemed so different. And like, where else would you hear something like that? Nowhere. I don't know. So, yeah.
I think that's definitely one of the delights of podcasting and talking podcasts with other people is, you know, just listening to your podcast here, this one. I've been exposed to podcasts that would really never be on my radar. And when I talk with friends who are podcasters or passionate listeners, it's just an endless array that you just almost can't even fathom how many choices you have and how many people you get to know through the way they decided to share something on the internet.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And there's almost no end to, oh, I wonder if there's a podcast about this at this point, because there is. There's probably at least 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 of them. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right, Heidi, what about you? What got you started?
Yeah, well, podcasting came just at the right time for me. I was not somebody who was attracted to listening to NPR. I mean, just peripherally, but it wasn't my everyday, you know, go-to place. I wasn't listening to talk radio. I love music. I'm a musician, so I would kind of default to listening to music, which I still love doing. But my husband, he's always been kind of the early adopter tech dude in the family. And he said, you know, I started listening to something. I think you're going to like it, because it's conversations between conversations between comedians, and they're just kind of kicking back and talking. And so it's funny and it's interesting. And so that was the Nerdist. And so I started by listening to the Nerdist, and I really enjoyed the casual style. You know, it wasn't this rigid interview style, and people were funny. The people that were on there were comedians who I was already a fan of. And then through that, and through noticing what other comedians were saying, oh, I'm on this podcast or I'm on that podcast, I'd say I took the Paul F. Tompkins route. So he's the big comic god of podcasting, in that he's on a lot of them and has produced many of them. And he's somebody that you can, you know, type in and search for his name, and then lo and behold, find a whole world of podcasters that are comedians, sort of comedy driven. So that's how I started, and that's how I ended up listening to like Doug Loves Movies and Stop Podcasting Yourself, my favorite Canadian podcast, and many other comedy driven podcasts. And that really, it came at the right time, because I was just transitioning into working for myself, and I was spending way more hours by myself than I was used to, and I was having some problems with feeling more socially anxious and feeling disconnected. So it really saved me. These were my friends in my ears, you know, day in, day out. They'd help me kind of loosen up and feel less alone. And ultimately, that's why I wanted to do what I do.
That's so fantastic. So, Annette, what made you start? What made you want to actually make a podcast? And is Herb Chirp the first one?
Yeah, it is. I had no concept that it was even possible that I could podcast because it was so far away from, you know, I just never thought about it. But then I was at a networking event in here at home, and I ran into this woman named Karen Unland, who we just started talking about podcasts. She's talking about them, and I'm like, I love podcasts. I listen to them all the time. And I found out that she was at that time trying and now has since successfully established an Alberta podcast network. So she's kind of the center point for so many podcasts in the city and in the province here. And she said, she found out, oh, you like podcasts, you like Doctor Who, I have this person you need to meet. And she set me up with this someone. She's like, she just moved to town. She was from the U.S. And you guys are just, I have this feeling. And she said, I joke, it's like a blind friend date with Erica Ensign, we had a coffee date, and then you have another coffee date, and then at some point you just realize being friends with Erica, who came here to marry Stephen and Shapansky, and they have a podcast company called Castria. They're on the Incomparable Network for a lot of things. They both have several Doctor Who podcasts, one of them together called Lazy Doctor Who. But yeah, they were so into podcasting that suddenly I didn't have to know how to do a podcast. I could just hang out and wait. And eventually I was told I was going to be on a podcast about Wynonna Earp because we were going to watch the show together with our other friend Kirsten. And she's like, we should just do a podcast about this. And the ease that they are able to create and put together and post and share a podcast is, you know, that's a great skill set that I didn't have. I still don't really have. So any podcast I do is usually through them or through people I have met through them. And it's been so much fun. But in like secretly, I always wanted to do a podcast because I love them so much. I just, you know, just didn't think it was going to happen.
When I think about like loving podcasts and then also wanting to do them, I'm curious what that connecting point there is for you, because there's plenty of people who are listening and loving them, but that doesn't mean they want to also do one.
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe I have a big ego and I think lots of people should listen to what I'm saying. So much important things to share about my feelings. I think it sounded fun. I think it sounded like a lot of the ones that I listened to, especially the conversational ones, like A Witch Please, those were two people who were really good friends and they're having a conversation. It's like eavesdropping on a conversation. A lot of the pop culture ones are people kind of having fun talking about something. And it just seemed, it just seemed like a fun thing to do. I also come from a teaching background, so I'm pretty comfortable speaking. But yeah, I don't know. It just, the opportunity presented itself. I do, getting back to what you were saying earlier, Heidi, I call myself a creative dabbler. Mm-hmm. So I'll try anything. I'll try painting. I'll try baking. I do a lot of knitting. I do, you know, and so it's another thing when the opportunity presents itself, I like to go, sure, why not? Because it's good to be brave and try things and challenge yourself sometimes. So
awesome answer.
I love that so much. I wonder how much of it also had to do with the fact that you had someone that could help walk you through that technical side.
I'm really lucky because we show up in person and like a lot of people I know don't get to record in person. So we go show up at Erica and Steven's apartment, and Steven has all the mics beautifully set up, and the Erica controls all the recording stuff, and I just have a mic. I speak into it. They do some magic stuff, and the podcast is out. I help write the descriptions.
Well, which there you go.
You know, so I do help some. But yeah, and as we're doing it more, you get more comfortable sort of trying to help decide things about the podcast. But the technical side, I just leave in their very capable hands.
It's probably smart.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. All right, Heidi, what about you? What got you actually wanting to make a podcast?
Well, I am a bit of a ham, so I'm a singer. and so I come from a background of hammy singers and and coffee house management, where you're sort of running the show, you know, and setting a mood and playing just the right music for people to feel, you know, comfortable and accommodated. And so, yeah, I do. I enjoy the, and I love talking with people. I feel like what I've learned about myself over the years is, you know, as you kind of figure out as you go through life, like, oh, I am more of a reader, or I am more of a listener, or I am more, you know, there's different ways we all learn. And I realize that a lot of the way that I process information and learn it is through talking about it with people. So what better way to do it than get behind the mic and just sort of play around with ideas? Yeah. And I also have learned so much from other creatives about social anxiety, or people feeling guilty for dropping a project, or just laughing at the ridiculousness of life and all this stuff, that I thought, I just want more of that. So if I can provide, you know, just another voice or combination of voices that can talk about this bluntly and not try to turn it into, like I said, this system of perfection. And I kind of point back to that a lot, just because I feel like when I started learning to be a coach, I felt like there's all these messages saying, like, you know, work with me and you'll be optimizing your perfect blah, 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 blah. And I thought, well, I don't want to put out that message. I want people to know that working with a coach can be quite beneficial to help them wrap their mind around ideas and kind of pull out their own genius and feel better and more confident about what they're doing. But it's not about optimizing this perfect system of, you know, I want to talk with people about the messiness of life and, you know, how there's certain days where you're just going to be huddled in a corner and crying and being in the fetal position.
That's okay, that you're not alone, that there's other people that are going through that too.
Exactly. And that's also part of the creative process, but it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm a tortured artist and I'm a starving artist and I'm, you know, so yeah, I wanted to put out some alternative messages, and I felt like I knew a lot of creative people that were at different levels of success, but that were funny and engaging. And because I enjoyed listening to funny and engaging creatives, I wanted to just add more of that into the world. So I actually started because, yeah, I didn't know how to edit or anything like that. I started by doing, my first podcast was Spinal Tap Minute. So it was about Spinal Tap, this is Spinal Tap, one of my favorite movies, but it was through that Movies by Minutes style. And that felt accessible to me because I wasn't sure exactly, Vibrant Visionaries hadn't come to fruition in my brain yet. I didn't have the name. I didn't know exactly what our focus was going to be. So instead of trying to force that or feel irritated that hadn't come fully formed into my brain, I thought, well, let me start out doing something fun and get a partner. So I found a partner to dissect Spinal Tap with me 1 minute at a time. And he also had no experience. So we got to learn together, and that was really fun, you know. And he took on the editing, I took on the booking and promoting. And yeah, as you mentioned, it's just as you go along, you sort of start feeling more comfortable taking on or trying out, you know, writing longer show notes or, you know, different ways of putting it all together. But it was really fun. And then I got to know the Movies by Minutes community through that, and then a bunch of other people, because so many people love this Spinal Tap, that like that's how I got to meet Jason Snell and some other artists and comedians and musicians and stuff, because I chose a subject that a lot of people love. So then I went to another Movies by Minutes podcast, and then finally I was like, now I'm ready to do this one on my own, and now I'm editing it, and my husband helped me with the website and kind of taught me some of the editing. But, you know, I got to do my own logo and, you know, submit it to the world and say, my new baby has birthed.
I love that, how personal a podcast can be, especially if you're lucky enough to do someone before that you're still passionate about. But like, for example, the Spinal Tap Minute was obviously you're passionate about the movie, but it's not as personal, maybe. So you have the structure in place already because the movies by minute is in play. So it's there, it's present. You can use that as a guideline, but then you're like, hey, let's get in on this brand new thought, and you get to build the structure, you get to build the logo, you get to build the website, everything from like that moment of it. And it's just kind of, it's very personal and scary when you launch it out into the world and you're like, oh my goodness, are people gonna like this? Is anyone gonna listen? Hello.
Totally. Yeah, it was a perfect baby step situation, getting a partner, having it be about something that's a fun movie, and then yeah, the built-in community resource, so I could, you know, be vulnerable with that community and ask questions that I might find, you know, I could just say, hey, I'm a newbie, you know, let's help me out here. And right. Everybody rallied around us and, you know, helped retweet our podcast episodes and all that stuff. So, yeah, it was a really good starter podcast.
I love that so much. Okay, so before we get to the main topic, last episode, I talked to people at PodCon about what show was currently playing in their podcast player of choice. And so I'm going to ask you ladies, what podcast are you currently listening to? What episode, what show, that sort of stuff, right this minute? Well, obviously not this minute because you're on a podcast, but if you were to hit play in your podcast player, what show would come up?
I've got Oh No, Ross and Carrie. Woo! And I had to look at it's the Aura Appointment, which is their latest Brooklyn live show edition. And nice. Yeah, I'm in the middle of that one. It's a great, funny, speculative skeptics podcast about all sorts of claims that people make about the paranormal or supernatural or health. And they always go out and do whatever they're testing. And so in this episode, they got their pictures of their aura taken and then sort of discuss the science and experience and how valid these claims are, which is super fun and funny. And they have so much chemistry, the two of them, I think, which is half the show. It's just,
yeah, absolutely. I love that show so mm-hmm. much, even though Carrie does take some pot shots at life coaches, which I have to have a thick
You take
skin
a little
about.
Personal. But I, you know, you got to admit the people, anytime that you pot shots to life coaches are taken, it's the opposite of what I feel like you provide, which is this is the structure to make you succeed. And you too can be a six.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think she doesn't understand, so then she makes fun of, which I totally understand. But it is one of my favorite shows. Oh my gosh. I agree. Their chemistry, their giggles, you know, the way that they make each other laugh. It is definitely one of my all-time favorite podcasts. And I love their way of investigating, because they're very respectful to the people that yes. they surround themselves with, and them getting into, you know, Scientology it's the most entertaining way to take a peek behind the curtain at some of these interesting religions and cults and, yeah, these trippy, like when they have, you know, oh, spend time drinking interesting concoctions wearing those exercise belts and
or,
all that stuff. Oh my God.
They recently tried urine therapy, speaking right? of drinking things. You're wow. What are you doing? Why? But I'm going to listen to it and be grossed out by it. But,
do you have a favorite subject of theirs?
I really liked when they went down to Costa Rica and did the ayahuasca.
Oh, yeah. Fascinating.
And they did the drugs and had some crazy experiences down there. Well, Ross more so than Carrie, who took the tincture, mm-hmm. which was more effective than taking the actual drugs. It's just, you know, they're just so funny. But also, they went for it. And I feel like there's a certain amount of openness when they go to the experience of it, even if they don't buy into everything, they kind of analyze what did we actually get out of this experience, and there might be some valid things that we feel or think or learned, even if we don't buy all of the claims that these people are making.
Totally. So. Yeah, they're fully open to learning and yeah, highlighting what they got out of it that was a positive experience. And yeah, I love that podcast.
Yeah.
Brilliant. All right, Heidi, what are you listening to? Write this.
So I just pulled it up. I am listening to episode 377 of Throwing Shade. And Throwing Shade, for those not familiar, it is a podcast hosted by two hilarious people, Aaron Gibson and Brian Safi. They're both comedians. She is a woman. He is a gay man. And the reason that that's an important part of the puzzle is that they are pointing to and calling out and talking about all sorts of subjects of the day. So what's happening in, politics-wise, or what's happening out there in pop culture, and what is happening with maybe bills that are being passed, or things that are happening in other parts of the world, or, so they're pointing a lens at news stories, but they're taking a comedic point of view towards it. So they're sincere in wanting to highlight and elevate the conversation, but they're hilarious in that they are also, putting on goofy voices and turning into certain characters when they do their, especially when they do their ad reads, or having interesting people that you may have not heard of or heard from on as guests towards the end of some of their episodes. And so you have to definitely be in for their sense of humor. But if you are all in, and Sam Kiefer, who's their engineer on most episodes, he's almost become like a third member of the podcast, and he came out as bisexual recently on the podcast and is kind of actually sharing his mental health story as he has integrated his hilarity and vulnerability into the podcast. So Throwing Shade is it's really fun, and I get a lot of my a lot of my world news from them as well.
Oh, fantastic. I love that so much. And great. Now I have another one to add to my queue. Mm-hmm.
But totally sounds up my alley.
Yeah. Words. Wow. I just crushed and burned. My transitions for this new question are not quite built yet. But let's talk about other favorite podcasts that you like to listen to. Annette, if you would like to go first.
Sure. I like that you give us multiple options, because how do you even pick one?
It's like picking a favorite child. But yeah, it's important. There are a variety of podcasts that you almost have to have, because it depends on your mood. It depends on your day. So yeah, exactly. Yes, you have multiple to choose from.
Great. So I made a list. It's probably too long. But I think I'm putting things on the ones that I really look forward to and sort of jump the queue.
Perfect.
So right now, one of my current ones that I get really excited about is The Memory Cheats, which is a Doctor Who podcast with Steven and Kyle. They do, they're doing the whole Stephen Moffat era of Doctor Who episodes and randomly select an episode. They don't pre-watch it, and they just remember everything they know about it. Both of them know a lot about Doctor Who, so they can pull up more things than I could probably after watching the episode. But one of the things that is so delightful is just listening to them laugh whenever the episode is chosen. And yeah, they just talk about it, and it's so simple, but it's so enjoyable. And because I've watched all of New Who, I can listen to that and sort of take the ride along with them. That's really good. I also have, I really love fiction podcasts, and I find not all of them are created equal. And the first one I kind of fell in love with was the Black Tapes. I like the scary stuff and that horror element. And it just sort of, to me, it's sort of, it's reinventing. It's like, it's more than an audiobook because you can, you're actually creating more of a radio play and sort of the radio plays of days gone by. And it just, I feel like there's so much more potential for more of this to come out in future podcasts because
it's less of an end point.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think we've tapped fully into that as a medium for storytelling because there's still not a ton out there and the quality can be really variable. Right now, I've really enjoyed the rabbits story, which is from the Pacific Northwest. That one was really enjoyable. I really liked the Limetown, which just released another season. They came out a while ago. And for something that's a little more fun, My Dad Wrote a Porno, which I... It's not necessarily the best fiction, but it is the best fiction. And they also pair that with interviews in between where people are talking about aspects of My Dad Wrote a Porno, which is literally a guy with a bunch of friends telling stories or reading his dad's pornography, which is terrible. It's terrible pornography. It's the grossest pornography you'd ever read, but he's so delightful and funny and good.
That's
so awesome. Yeah,
I had the privilege of listening to Paul Bay on a couple of panels at PodCon.
Yeah.
And so the Black Tapes is on my list of shows to eventually check out when I have space in my time frame for things. But I have an entire queue in my Overcast that's like shows to start listening to when you have the time.
Yeah, well, and the nice thing about them though is they're sitting there, and there's rumor that there might be another season coming because it sort of ended, and you're going, "What? We need more?" But you start at the beginning, and you can go through any time, and
it's not topical, so there you can listen to it when you want to, when you can, which's so great about podcasts too is that they don't go away necessarily. So when you, if you want to re-listen, or they'll be there when you're ready for them. And so it's always fun to have that, that history almost and see that growth over the time, especially if you maybe, if there's a podcast that has a lot of episodes and so you just jump in and then you're like, oh, I want to go back and listen to the backlog. You know, there's that personal moment, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a completionist about things, so when I like something, I do go back and start at the beginning and start listening to all of the episodes. I can't help it, just like to have the complete package. I also really like some of the science podcasts like Sawbones and Science Versus, and my husband and I always listen to The Skeptic Guide to the Universe and sort of learning about what's happening in our world out there. And they're all pretty easily digestible bits of facts and information that presented usually in a kind of a fun and interesting way. So
brilliant.
Awesome.
All right, Heidi, what about you? What are some of your favorite podcasts?
Okay, so I'm caffeinated. I'm a passionate podcast listener, like we all three are, and all the listeners. So I'm going to try to go through quickly, but I'd really like to highlight a few of these independent podcasts and also a couple of them that are specifically in the Lady Pod Squad community. So I'm part of a community that if you ladies haven't heard of or been a part of, there's a whole community called Lady Pod Squad, and you can look at hashtag Lady Pod Squad on Twitter to find them. And we also have a awesome Slack group and Facebook group. I'm more hanging out in the Slack group, but it's just a ton of different podcasts that are run by women or non-binary folk. So two of those, one is called the Explores Podcast, E-X-P-L-O-R-E-S-S. And the Explores Podcast is a beautifully produced history podcast about the history of women, and it's told in a way that has music, and it has, you know, different voice actors come in and help tell stories by reading aloud letters that were written by women who are, say, out in the Old West, and all sorts of different, you know, women who served in the military, you know, disguised as men, and all sorts of things like that. So it's wonderful to listen to. It's immersive, and the Explores is one of my favorite podcasts. And then this other one that I'm absolutely in love with, which is called Best Forevers. And Best Forevers is a podcast exploring friendship. And so it's funny, it's sweet, it's tender, and it just highlights the complicated side and the beautiful side of friendship from all so many different angles, and it's really wonderful. So those are my two lady pod squatters that I want to point out. And then as far as a couple podcasts that are sort of similar to what I do, one of them is called Creative Pep Talk. And I really like that one because the ideas are solid and sound, and they're really, they're very peppy. The host he's got ADHD, and he kind of weaves that into sort of this manic, excited way of talking, but he's really dedicated to helping folks figure out how to, you know, market and sell their creative offerings, but in a way that's non-icky and just sort of fun, but also saying like, hey, this is real. We want to succeed in our creative businesses. Here's a plethora of ideas. And on that same note, a calmer sounding person is the host of Good Life Project. And he kind of weaves both business stuff and wellness stuff into his. And then the final one in that section is the Soulful MBA, which is two women who run a online business that helps folks run their creative businesses. So it's a little bit more on the wellness side, but is great. And then the final section I'll say is I love listening to podcasts that are film related. So I'll just say all of these are film related. Switchblade Sisters is hosted by a woman, and she brings on women filmmakers to talk about some of their favorite genre films. Who Shot Ya actually has that host and a couple of other hosts and friends that are all folks, especially they like to have on people of color and people that are gay, bi, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to talk about film. So just another place to just get a different flavor of people that are not, you know, just your standard, no offense to our favorite white guys that run a podcast, but are, you know, a new different flavor combination. And I really enjoy that one. I also love The Good Place, the podcast, yes, which is all the folks from The Good Place talking with the wonderful Mark Evan Jackson from The Good Place, who has such a beautiful voice and asks great questions. And I mean, that's just scratching the very tippity top surface of that. So yeah, there's just a few.
So fantastic. I love how wide the range is. Looking at your podcast in particular, you know, you have stuff for your own personal work and stuff for films and stuff in your community and network. And that's what's so great about podcasts is that you don't ever have to go into something that is like, oh, I am now only listening to film podcasts, mm-hmm, like, or I'm only listening to murder podcasts, and you can jump around and it's totally fine and it's okay. And I just love that, how easy it is to do, which is kind of great.
And what do you ladies think about like different times of the day or different moods you're in? You know, you get to pick and choose, like, what kind of choices do you make about what podcast you listen to at certain, you know, certain times of your day or certain moods that you're feeling?
Oh, so there's a couple podcasts that I listen to the time, like when they come out. Dubai Friday is one that always comes out, you know, Thursday or Friday. So as soon as that comes out, that's what I listen to, that and the after show right away. And then Upgrade is also another one that's on the day that, so it's always my Monday podcast. And that's with Jason Snell and Mike Curley, and they talk about Apple, but they also talk about like working and productivity, but not quite the full cortex level. And it's just, it's great. And those are the only two that really like have a set, like this is the time of day or whatnot. And it's because of that's when they come out. But otherwise it's kind of just what mood I'm feeling. If I'm feeling like I just want to listen to Mike Rowe talk about people, I have a whole queue of all of his podcasts. And, you know, they're short and quick, and it's great for, I don't want to like concentrate too much on it, but I still want to learn something. So yeah, it just depends on that more of a personal mood.
Yeah, absolutely. I find there's stuff that I can listen to at, you know, if you're having a bad day and I'm feeling stressed or I just can't handle the world right now, yeah. Total Party Kill, which is a D&D podcast. Mm. And it's kind of like slow podcasting where it takes a really long time for anything to happen because they're rolling dice and just the sound of the dice rolling and they're chattering and sort of quipping is really relaxing to me. And it's just sort of, oh, I can listen to this. There's nothing that's going to happen. I don't have to think about anything. You don't have to pay attention to the greatest detail because you can just let it kind of run. And it's just really soothing to me. Yeah. And I stick more with a fiction and not anything about actual topics and stuff. So like every once in a while, I notice there's a podcast where something's like piling up a lot and like, oh, I can see I'm kind of stressed lately because I can see I'm not listening to these podcasts right now because I just can't deal.
So. I love that. What about
you? Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. When you mentioned earlier talking about the backlog of podcasts or that you can revisit older ones, mm-hmm. I was thinking I have a couple of them that I'll just put on if either I just want to go to sleep and I've already listened to the episode a few times. So they're just kind of like, oh, my old buddies, I'm revisiting those. And the Kumail Nanjiani one, which is the X-Files files, I'm hoping he starts it again, but he's a little busy these days. But that podcast is him talking with creators and comedians and television show writers and showrunners and stuff about the X-Files files. And so I'll go back and listen to those. And those are very soothing to go to sleep to. And also the Gilmore Guys podcast. Mm. That one's really fun. And some of their episodes, they're talking with, you know, seriously awesome writers of, you know, other TV shows that I like, shows by Mike Schur and stuff like that. So I'll just go back and listen. And some of those episodes are 3, 4, and 5 hours long. So, but there's a lot of insight and a lot of humor and a lot of fun and a lot of creativity. So I'll just throw that on, have it on in the background while I'm doing dishes. And it's just, yeah. There's definitely ones where I can check out a bit more, but still feel a bit connected. And those are a couple of them.
I love it. Great question. And now for the final question of the podcast, which is our bonus question. And audience, if you have a bonus question that you would like me to ask my future guests, go ahead and tweet me with the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's fire bonus. And this episode's question comes from listener Sarah again, who has so many amazing questions, and I'm super excited to get her on the podcast in the future. That's neither here nor there. The question I have for you lovely ladies is, what was something, either a book, television show, movie, whatever, that you were super scared of as a child?
Oh, I was scared of so many things. Okay, I remember back in my childhood days that I had a birthday party and we rented a VCR because that's how old I am. And my dad brought home two movies. One was the Care Bear movie, which we were all too old for. But the other one was, I think it was called The Changeling, and it was this horror movie. But I had to leave the room. I was so uncool. So, like, I couldn't watch this movie at my birthday party, and it scared the pants off me. But, you know, the funny thing is now, I am not scared of those things in the same way. I kind of miss that things were actually scary. I think I just have too much disbelief, and I don't buy into the story that I like for the, it seems so real. It seems so possible. And now I just, it doesn't scare me in the same way.
Yeah. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. All right, Heidi, what about you?
Okay. So there's one that's my go-to answer, which is, I remember my dad and mom taking me to the movie theater to see Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Oh, yes.
And I've never seen it because I believe that my best memory as a little tiny person was that it was started in a forest, or that there was this dark forest element to it. And I just said, I'm out, you know, as a little kid. I was like, this is scary. I don't like it, please. And we left, you know. So I always go to that one. But listening now to the other answers, it reminds me of being at a family friend's house. So I think my parents were visiting with them maybe in the living room, and my brother and I were sequestered off to a like a den where a TV was. That's something that happened back in the 70s that I don't know if it still exists anymore, the little TV den. But that the original The Fly was on, and the original The Fly was in black and white, and it was just creepy. And I remember the little fly being stuck in the spider web, and the fly having a human head on it, and it saying, help me, help me. That was so scary.
Oh, man. Yeah,
that's always that stuck with me.
No, thank you. Thank you.
It's funny. I remember watching The Birds with my dad, and that was his movie that he was so scared of when he was young. Mm. And by the time we watched it, you could see the birds on wires fleeing before. Right. We're going to Dad. Why was this so scary?
You don't understand, children.
Yeah. It's like, it was terrifying.
Yeah. I love it. My answer is the abominable, I can't say it, the Yeti from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the claymation one. Aww. I always had nightmares that he came up over. I lived in a cul-de-sac, and I could see him coming up over the houses to come and reach into my room and get me. And that was like a continuous nightmare that I had for probably like 5 years.
Wow.
And now I'm like, why was I scared? Like, he was friendly-ish. And yeah, but nope, it traumatized me.
Yeah. I mean, it's valid, whatever it is. Right. And yeah, just don't know. And that idea of him coming up over something and being large and able to reach you, I think that sounds scary. And also his teeth were very pointy.
Yes, it's true. And everyone else was very scared of him too. So, feed off of whatever the essence of the characters in the event are having. And yeah. Ugh. No, thank
you. That reminds me that when I think I was about going 2 or 3 when Michael Jackson's Thriller video came out, and Michael Jackson was under my bed for probably 2 or 3 years, and I used to have to jump out of the bed because that zombie Michael Jackson, he was very scary, and I did not like him being under my bed. He was going to grab my ankles.
Oh my goodness. That's so scary.
Spooky.
Yeah.
So many levels of scary.
I know. The problem with having older brothers is you watch things that you shouldn't.
Those darn older brothers.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone so much for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at @friendsinears. You can find Annette at Scriptorium Girl, and Heidi is at Heidi M. Bennett, and I am at Mrs. Soup. Thank you again so much for listening, and I hope you all have an amazing day.
Thank you.